You're listening to Two Guys, One Album with music insiders Michael Heidemann and Paul Farva.
We are two music experts.
I mean, experts is pushing it.
Taking on the greatest albums of all time.
It's a little subjective.
Song by song with careful analysis.
All right, I wouldn't say careful. Look, we're having fun with the songs.
Two Guys,
One Album. I cannot wait to talk about our new album, Michael.
This is very exciting. Put on your long hair, your white man dreads.
Yeah. And again, because Adam Duritz had those too.
Really?
Well, he had dreads.
That's a good point. And your djembe. This is the perfect time to break out all those classic instruments.
Two Guys, One Album. We are here reviewing a classic from my era. Spin Doctors, A Pocket Full of Kryptonite.
Yes, the debut studio album by the Spin Doctors, released in August of 1991. My name is Michael Heidemann.
I'm Paul Farivar.
And again, like we mentioned before, you're listening to Two Guys, Two Princes. Oh, sorry, Two Guys, One Album.
Yes.
We're stoked that you're listening to this episode. Hopefully you've picked us up from the other episodes that we did. We did some with John Mayer, Taylor Swift, and now we're taking on this 90s mega smash.
Mega smash and is the right word.
Paul, this was your idea. You wanted to take on the Spin Doctors.
Well, I just want to say that this album was what I thought would be a timeless album back in the day. This was all I listened to my senior year of high school. We listened to it every weekend. I thought it was going to be the greatest thing. I was so bummed that I was on vacation with my family and my friends got to go see them in concert.
Ooh.
With the Wallflowers. And I was like, oh man, like I heard it was like the greatest concert. They all said it was so fun.
Man.
I was like, fear of missing out. But
that's so 90s. The
Spin Doctors. First of all, we need to tell you guys a couple of things. Mm-hmm. We have a rating system we'll talk about at the end, which is we rate the album. It's the maximum you can get is 11 likes, which is on Facebook when you can no longer see the names.
Mm-hmm.
And we have emojis in there. This is subjective. You know, we're getting a lot of mail from people. We're getting a lot of positive mail, too. Lauryn Hill is now a big fan of ours. The fake Dolly Parton.
Yeah, the fake Dolly Parton followed us the other day, which is pretty exciting.
And the real David Gilmour gave us a like from Pink Floyd, even though we kind of shit on his album.
That was very controversial, our take on Pink Floyd's The Wall. But this is what we do. We take albums that we haven't listened to in a very long time, or if we have, we're re-listening to them song by song with careful analysis, like we mentioned in the beginning of the show. And it's really exciting because you don't know how much you might love or hate an album until you listen to the full thing, mm-hmm, step by step, song by song. And a lot of these albums are really surprising, to be honest.
Yeah, we've ended up liking stuff we didn't think we'd like, and we didn't like things we didn't like.
So, Paul, do you think I'm going to like this album by the Spin Doctors?
I don't know. You've never heard it. And we didn't even really get to hear the first song all the way through, so play it a little bit as it ends.
It's about to end.
No. This is the last verse. It's just repeated. How can you not like that crunchy guitar? And the bass lines? It's like funky rock.
Isn't it so funny how in the 90s, all these bands, you know, were so pigeonholed into the same direction? Sublime, Counting Crows, the Spin Doctors, Wallflowers. They all had this kind of great Seattle-based southern...
Well, this wasn't Seattle. I would not put this in the same realm. It's not grungy at all.
That's a good point. Maybe something more like beachy kind of flow.
This was like a hippie sound.
Hippie. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Just jam band, pre-jam band sound. Like, mm-hmm, they didn't like play like doodle for 20 minutes like a Grateful Dead or a Fish band,
mm-hmm,
but they still had that jam feel, hippie feel to
like
them.
A jam band who was forced to make melodies with their songs. Where they're like, we know you guys want to jam out and rock out and smoke weed, but we're going to have to get a verse and a chorus in there before you get this record deal.
Yeah, and there were hooks in their songs,
mm-hmm,
I think. At least hooks in this album. And the first song was Jimmy Olsen's Blues, which was a great way to start the album. and we didn't really get to hear it, but basically it wasn't a hit on the album, but it was a song that they probably opened all their shows with.
So supposedly, I was going to ask you who Jimmy Olsen was. It's actually a humorous song sung from the point of view of Jimmy Olsen, a character
Superman.
In Superman, the comic book series. So these guys were kind of closeted nerds, but maybe not so closeted. Jimmy Olsen tries to woo Lois Lane away from Superman, stating, "I got a pocket full of kryptonite."
Which is the name of the album, yeah. That's where they got the whole name of the album, and that's what Jimmy Olsen's blues was from. So
it all comes together.
Yeah. This is a song called "What Time Is It?" The second song of the album.
I was gonna make a pun.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say something about forget it. It's time has passed.
This song is horrible. It's just a jam, but you listen to it, you might like it because you like jams. It was just one of those things where it's like, if you're at a concert, you're like, I'm gonna go get a beer.
This is the "I Gotta Get a Beer" song.
Yeah. And I want to remind people, if they want to chime in, twoguys1album@gmail.com, or if you want to follow us on Twitter, it's twoguys1album, the number two guys, the number one album. And all our reviews, 30 minutes or less. If you go back, we've never gone over 30 minutes. So we're nothing if we're not consistent.
That's right. 30 minutes or less, or 6.5 days. Yeah. I remember that one podcast that we did where we just never left.
It hasn't been released yet, but that was our that was our White Album review.
You know, we keep talking about the White Album. We're going to eventually do it. I feel like that's our white whale almost, because you think it's going to be way too long to do as a podcast.
It's like 62 songs. So here, you've never heard this song for sure.
Are they just talking about what time it is? That's the whole concept of
it's
the...
It's a pretty shitty song. But I'm just, I mean...
Some of the lyrics are, it's 12:30, I think, was one of the lyrics that he wrote.
Yeah, so the answer is, you've already answered the question.
What time is it?
It's 4:30. I feel like there was a Beavis and Butthead about this. Look at your watch. Like, I don't know. I think there was, or it should have been.
Yeah. He's got a watch on his hand. He doesn't know what time it is, though.
They were like... And the thing that sucks about Spin Doctors now is, like, people are like, where are they now? They were touring. They were doing, like, those crappy tours. They did do a tour in Denver with Smash Mouth, Sugar Ray, Everclear, and Soul Asylum. Three of those bands are god-awful. And then the other ones are Everclear and Soul Asylum. No, I'm just kidding.
I wouldn't mind doing an Everclear Two Guys, One Album one of these days.
Oh, God. And do they have a full album that's good?
I remember that song "Wonderful" was pretty wonderful.
Maybe. There was a lot. I liked the crunchy song that they did.
I sit around and watch my toes. Yeah, something like that. The Wallflowers would be a good one too.
We'll do that. But this song's you get the gist of it. Yeah. It's just a jam on like one chord. But the next song is really what everyone was their first hit and put them on the. On the map. Take a listen.
Oh, this is such a great, great song. But the thing is, right when it started
playing...
So you
like this song?
I do. Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, released October 5th, 1992. I mean, we're right in that 90s time when we're getting out of the 80s, kind of the corporate rock and a little bit of the disco and everything.
I'm listening to you.
I just lost all the hearing in my headphones.
Oh, you heard
And it's
that?
Not just the song. Yeah. We're switching some headphones here.
But this
is a great song because it's cool. It has a cool hook. It has a cool feel to it. It's funky. You can dance to it. You can do, you know, your hippie dance too, where you're just kind of rocking back and forth. I like the lyrics, but I did get a little dizzy when I first heard this song because I remember that music video, which
was
spinning.
Yeah.
A lot of spinning.
That.
And
they were all like so white. Even the guy who was black in the van was like white. Did you notice that? Like they were just like so funky, like trying to be so funky.
Yeah.
And yet like they're just so loose and hippie-ish. You're like, no, dude, like you need to like not be a hippie anymore.
Yeah. And the thing is, you got to like give him credit for keeping that haircut. Like haircuts are a very important part of this podcast.
You're talking about Chris Barron, the singer.
I'm talking about Chris Barron. To keep that long, dready look with the goatee Just well, the dirtiest looking
does
dude.
Does he still look like that? We don't even know.
Oh, you know, that's a
like,
good point.
I don't, maybe he, I mean, I bet you like if he was in the concerts, that one of the writers would say, you have to look like you did. And wear those like, those hats. Remember those winter hats with the beanie things hanging down?
Paul, I don't mean to blow your mind.
We're looking at a picture of him now.
He is, oh my gosh, the different
case.
So
hair.
In the 90s, he looked like
curly,
the older,
long, dreadlocky
he looked
hair.
Like the older Pete from Pete and Pete. And now in the in the now time, he looks more like who am I thinking? Like an out of work magician,
or like he looks like he was on Star Trek,
or yeah,
or like a professor at like a third tier school.
He still maintains the goatee though, which yeah. brings me back. If you have a
but
haircut,
but it's not as long as it was back then. And
no,
it's super gray. If you have a haircut, what now?
If you have a haircut and you're devoted to it that long, I give you credits. Like, he already got one like in my book when I'm making my ratings for just for the goatee.
Haircut?
Because if you think about
the goatee, okay.
The guys from Less Than Jake, that guy's had dreads down to his butt for over 20 years. Adam Duritz stuck with the white man dreads forever. This guy's goatee has not left his face once. What about when he eats soup? You think he just craves the one day where he doesn't get soup in his beard?
I don't know, man. I just feel like...
By the way, I'm reading all of this information from his Wikipedia page. I'm not saying it off the top.
See, that's the picture. We're looking at a picture of him from the videos from the MTV time when he was, he had his long hippie... Oh, wow. He gained some weight at some period of time, too.
Yeah, that was a rough time for him. Okay.
But whatever. It's still a good song. He wrote a great song. You know, fun fact people don't know that I didn't know, John Popper, Blues Traveler, was in this band too.
No way.
Yeah.
Which That's also crazy.
It's funny. He left to focus on Blues Traveler. But again, another band that like you thought would be timeless, but really you don't hear anything. Well, I shouldn't say that. They still tour a little more than Spin
Doctors. They actually just put out a new album too in 2018, I believe.
I'm sure it's selling as well as their first day. But
how
my point
you.
Is that these guys, Spin Doctors, their follow-ups never really caught on, even though this album sold like 3 million copies, something like that.
Yeah,
that's
very... I know in the first week, it sold around 60,000 copies into late 1991.
Yeah, but then once they went on Saturday Night Live, it was like they went to like 3 million. Right?
Exactly. It was certified platinum 5 times by the Recording Industry of America.
And all because of basically that song. And then there's another hit we'll get to in a little bit. But and it's funny, if you look at the album, the only songs that have Roman numerals, they do the numbering of the album, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The ones that they gave the Roman numerals were the two hits on the album.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like they knew that the rest of the song, the rest of the album was going to be like average. Which, well, we can find out. Let's listen to the next song. 40 or 50 is
all
number
right.
4.
That, right,
I don't
right
even
away,
remember this song, to
right
be
away, that song doesn't sound like a hit. 40 or 50, they're like, what do you want to, how many chords and words you want to have in this song? He's like, I don't know, 40 or 50. He's like, whatever, this song's going to be trash anyway.
Yeah, this is just going to be filler. Let's see if I remember this song.
This is weird because... they're playing in this echo chamber almost.
Is
that
it them
is different
or is
from
it,
their
I
songs.
I thought it was our headphones. You might be right.
Yeah, there's a different kind of production to this song.
I just feel like these songs are just like,
I feel
like masturbation for them. They're just like, everyone's like, I want to write a song. I want to write a song. I want to make this album. And they're like, all right, well, we'll put your riff on this song, but it's definitely not going to be one of the hits.
Mm-hmm. Or get this, do you think that this was maybe their experimental song that they like brought to the table? They're like, I have something really weird that's going to change the face of music. 40 or 50.
No. These are like background songs. This one wasn't as bad as What Time Is It. At least this is consistent with their brand of music that made them popular, which was poppy, hippie, happy songs.
Now, I'm glad you said that because poppy, hippie, happy songs. I'm very excited about this next song and the name of it. I have never heard it before.
I don't remember it by name. But because, again, this was the 90s, so you just put the CD and you're like, put in number 7, put in number 5.
Yeah.
Which is, that's how we did it back then. We never learned the names of the songs.
That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I kind of miss those days when you'd put it on your mixer and you're like, oh, yeah, song number 8 by Weezer
Mouth.
Was Surf Wax America. Oh, Smash Mouth, number 3 was Walking on the Sun. I know that for a fact. And if I'm wrong, please write us at two guys one album. Let's
get at gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Let's listen to this next song.
Refrigerator Car.
Even the name
of it. What the hell is? Do we know anything about this? Can you do some research while we're looking this up?
Let me take a look.
I bet you even Wikipedia is like, what? Nobody's looked this up before.
My computer actually just crashed when I typed in refrigerator.
Well, it already taken too long to get to anything. Oh, this is like, you know what? This band Pearl Jam's getting popular. We should try to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chris Brown's like, I can't sing like that.
All right,
God.
So there's, believe it or not, there weren't a lot of novels written about the song Refrigerator Car. So let's get to the lyrics. Your heart is a refrigerator car. It's cold and it never waits. Frozen breath.
Where are these lyrics?
And frostbite.
We're already 3 minutes into the song.
Right.
Oh, here we go. Oh, I do remember this song now. Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, man. It has like a little bit of sublime, edgy breakdowns here.
A little more crunchy. They started to use some distortion. Probably the record company's like, look, guys, this thing is coming out in Seattle, mm-hmm. and you guys got to respond.
Mm-hmm. It's so a bit grungy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little grungier than their other non-distorted guitar sounds.
It's funny you say that because I'm thinking about Kurt Cobain listening to this album and him being like, this just is garbage.
I can guarantee you that Kurt Cobain never heard the song Refrigerator Cars. We can find out, but I'm pretty sure. We can ask around. I'm sure he's never listened. If he did listen to their songs, it would only be...
I'm thinking about you and me going on a research and we're like asking,
hey,
like,
do you guys know Refrigerator Cars? I bet you Spin Doctors, if you ask the members of the band, they were like, what, I do remember that name, but did we ever release a song called that? They don't even know. Let's keep going. This song's garbage.
You know what? I'm kind of leaning towards the fact that I like that. That might be one of my favorites on the album
really?
So far. Yeah.
All right.
I think because we just talked it up so much. Yeah, I like the little breakdowns.
We talked it up? We talked up the fact that there's no other songs about refrigerator cars?
All right,
More Than She Knows is number 6, right?
Let's dive into it.
Oh, I can already tell you this is going to be a filler song.
This is like a garage band Beatles song, is what the feel I'm getting. And I feel bad because we are shitting pretty hard on the Spin Doctors right now. And
I'm not shitting on them. You are. I'm saying that their songs, these songs aren't good. And they put out an album knowing full well that they were going to have 2.5 hits on it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this was the time when he would go to the record store and pick up the
you
singles,
had to buy
too.
Well, yeah, you could buy cassette singles, mm-hmm. I think, and you could still buy the CDs in single form. But what was like, $5.99 for a single with two songs, or you can buy the whole album for $11.99. It was like a trick.
What record store did you go to when you were young? Were you a Sam Goody guy? Were you a...
No, it was too overpriced. I would go to Flipside or Rose Records. Those were the cheapest places. And then there was another store... Man, Rolling Stone Records was in, you'd have to drive far to go there, but it was so good. It was so cheap, and it was like the best store. They had everything.
So,
were you, Sam Goody?
That was only at the mall, and I knew the mall was overpriced. I was Walmart.
See, there was no Walmarts by me.
Oh, really? No, we had one down the street. But when I wasn't going to there, I was going to a lot of, what was it called? What's that place? I can't even recall like the names anymore. It's been so long. Coconut Records. That's where I went a lot
Coconuts
when I came to the city.
You couldn't find anything. You'd go to Coconuts. There was a Coconuts in Downers Grove that we used to go to. They used to have some sales every once in a while. Oh, there's John Popper.
Yeah, I was just going to make a mention of it. That's sweet.
That's what they did. They were like, Let's just put him on at the end.
Holy smokes. When we were talking...
I think he's on one of the other songs, too, actually.
Yeah.
Song wasn't that good.
So when I was rudely talking over that sweet harmonica solo, that was actually John Popper.
Yeah.
And he's phenomenal.
They would tour together harmonica on the player. Horde Fest, or one of those creepy festivals where hippies would get high. And Spin Doctors and Blues Traveler were like a staple of the sound in that era of time.
Jeez. He's a machine.
Yeah, well,
John Popper.
That was when he was large and in charge.
Do you like him large and in charge, or do you like the new Skinny Popper?
I haven't seen this Skinny Popper, but I'm not a big fan of his. I did love, one of my favorite songs is a deep cut by Blues Traveler, one of my favorite songs of all time, not just Blues Traveler song.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 9-minute song called Sweet Pain, and I love it, but like anytime they'd come in concert, my friend's like, you want to go? I'm like... I don't want to. I know they're probably not going to play it, and yeah. I don't like the rest of the songs. And I don't like. Yeah. I really don't like jam bands. I don't like to hear 20-minute versions of songs. I like hearing the studio versions.
Yeah,
like rare.
That's fair. That's fair. Because a lot of those bands, they think they jam out, and people like love to sway and stuff to it. Not me.
No,
I want to get in, hear
it's
the hits, and go.
It's just masturbation for the band. They want to like jam out. It's like go practice at home.
Mm-hmm.
Come with your best riffs, and mm-hmm. then we'll talk again. Unless you're amazing. Like, Trey Anastasio is an amazing guitarist. I'd probably like to hear him play.
What about John Mayer? Would you like to see him?
John Mayer, too. He's an amazing guitarist. And the thing we covered with his, with the podcast we did with Greg Lauterman was people didn't know how good he was until you go and see him in concert.
Mm-hmm.
But and I guess he's doing a good job. From my friend who's a Grateful Dead fan, she said that she really likes what he's done as a Deadhead. They like that he's...
Yeah,
whatever.
he's so good, and I recently saw Bob Weir from Grateful Dead. Just a little sidebar. His voice is so solid still, and his guitar playing. You know, he strums a lot of the hits, nothing too crazy, and uses the slide guitar every once in a while. Not the best soloist, so I'm glad they brought in John Mayer. But the thing is, that guy's like 70, 80 years old, and he's still rocking and rolling. I mean. That's incredible.
Was that Dead & Company? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Dead & Company.
Yeah. Oh, John Mayer's not in that project, though, anymore.
I thought he was.
I
think he's going on tour, actually, in the next few days.
TwoGuysOneAlbum@gmail.com. If you know the answer, we'll give you a free John Mayer album. We actually still have those
John
Mayer.
Yeah, we do.
We have special edition ones. Let us know.
So if you call in and you make mention, if you write in and you let us know, we will get you that. But let's go into the biggest hit on this album.
Two Princes.
Oh, come on, man. Now this must take you back. Where was Paul Farvar when he was listening to this song?
Drinking cases of Keystone Light at my friend Darren's house. Just drinking by the pool. Trying to get girls to notice me, which weren't. Nobody was talking to me. Trying to get attention. Doing stupid things to make people laugh.
So what's the difference of now?
Nothing really. Just less drinking. Better alcohol.
When's the last time you had a Keystone Light?
Do they still make Keystone?
I don't know. I was just thinking that and Red Dog is what I want to know about.
I remember Red Dog.
Or
and
Ice
I used
House.
To drink the Purple Passion bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Those big 2-gallon or whatever. Not 2-gallon. Whatever. The 2-liter bottles. Of Purple Passion. They're
what's
like
$5. Purple Passion?
It was like malt liquor, purple flavored. It tasted like grape juice, but it was alcohol in it.
Ugh.
You could drink the whole thing and get bombed for $5.99. Yeah, this song reminds me of my high school days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this song holds up. I like Little Miss Can't Be Wrong more, to tell you the truth. I think this song... Even when it was out, by the time like they just overplayed it so much on the radio.
They overplayed it, and the thing is that any great song has, by going through these albums, we see it all the time, the repetitive vocals and the hook just gets stuck in your head. You almost don't need to listen to it twice before you know all the words to it. And simple chords. Simple mm-hmm. chords and repetitive verse. And
it's
they've
catchy.
Got it.
Yeah,
they've
I mean, it's definitely a catchy song. I just don't think it stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. There's certain songs that you listen to again you haven't heard in like 10, 15, 20 years, and they still hold up. This is not one of them. And I say the same thing about that, you know, Maroon 5's first album. I love that album when it came out, but I can't even stand it right now. Dave Matthews, same thing. A lot of people...
This song was pretty much in the top 10 across the board. In 1993, when it was released as a single, it was reached number one in the U.S., and its lowest ranking was in Ireland, number five.
They don't like songs about princes there.
They've had some bad experiences. I wanted to go over the personnel real quick. So we have Chris, what is it, Barron, who's lead vocals. Eric Shankman. Eric Shankman, guitar backing vocals. Mark White on bass, Aaron Komnes on drums, and of course, we got to mention John Bush on the tambourine. John Bush on the tambourine, that's the job I want. I want to be the tambourine player on somebody's album.
In a 90s band?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not
Come
bad.
On. And John Popper, of course, the harmonica on More She Knows, Off the Line, Off My Line, and Two
Off
Princes.
My Line is the next song. Let's actually listen to some more Popper. Everyone knows.
Wait
this
a minute.
Song.
This is he does backup vocals on this song. I haven't heard him yet. John Popper.
Oh, it's probably in the harmonies. There's no more harmonies.
There we go.
That's Chris with his own voice.
No, that's a Popper. I think that's a Fat Popper.
No, nope.
Not Fat Popper. He just was a little bit overweight.
No, all right, let's Fat Popper. He calls himself a Fat Popper back then.
That's a great nickname, actually. No. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why Paul is crucial to the podcast. He brings the jokes.
It's not a joke. It's just
Skinny Pop is a kind of a popcorn.
Skinny Popper.
All right, you ready to dive into the next one?
Off the Line is the next one. We'll listen to Fat Popper again. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I remember this song.
Starts off with a kick.
And then you can hear the harmonica right away, too. I've
been thinking lately how to get you off my line. Oh, and that must be Popper right behind him.
Yeah, I hated this song back then.
This is when you skipped on the album? Yeah. In 1995, actually, on the heels of all their fame, they got to be on shows like Sesame Street, and they spoofed the song Little Miss Count Along with the Count and Zoe, celebrating the joy of counting. And then they played Two Princes as well on that following year on the show, which is great. The song was
this song's
used
horrible.
You know what this reminds
this
me of?
This song is. Yeah, go ahead.
It reminds me of those Pauly Shore movies in the 90s.
Yeah, this could have been in the soundtrack when like people are driving to like oh no, I got to get home before my dad gets home, and they played this song. This is what it was. This is like the song to like get home before dad finds out that you're not at school.
Let's get moving. It's actually the song Two Print or Little Miss Can't Be Wrong was actually used in Son-in-Law, so then I think that's why it makes a lot of sense. That was a great movie, by the way. Son-in-Law holds up.
You know, I opened for Pauly Shore recently.
You did?
Yeah.
And how is he? Did he mention the song?
No,
or did he
we
mention
didn't talk
his
about
album?
Any Spin Doctors.
Oh.
We didn't really talk.
You didn't talk?
No, he's got his own. He had his own dressing room.
Is he funny?
Yeah, he's still funny. I'll give him that. I definitely changed some stuff up to make it relevant. He makes fun of himself. I thought he did a good job. I give him, if we were giving him
How many
a rating,
likes would you
give
Pauly Shore?
Seven likes.
Okay, what emojis?
Nothing good. Just seven likes. This song is horrible. Let's get back to the stuff here.
Let's get back
off
to what really
line,
matters.
I just hate this song. It's off the line in my books. But the next song is called How Could You Want Him When You Could Have Me in Parentheses. And I do like this song. And this was in the soundtrack, I think, as well. I'm quite contented
to take my chance. I like the message of the song. A lot of people can relate with it.
It was on a lot of girls' mixtapes. Who dumped me. Not kidding.
So believe it or not, Chris Barron, his stepmom had a huge impact on his life. She affected a lot of his songwriting. And quick note on a fact about Chris. He had to drop out of college, and it was because he was studying something that was really, really hard and was probably stressing him out a lot. And that was ceramics. Now,
where'd he go to school?
Bennington College in Vermont.
Sounds like a made-up school. I feel like it was like Bob Bennington.
I can taste the Ben and Jerry's when I'm saying that sentence.
I wonder what movie this was in. I think it was in Philadelphia. No, they actually had a different song in that. They did a cover of CCR that was in Philadelphia.
The Spin Doctors did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, I would like that song.
It was... Have you ever seen The Rain, I believe? I don't have anything in front of me. Yeah, this is a good song. I honestly think this is the best song on the album.
It's cool. It's relaxing. I'm enjoying this. You know, their big breakthrough, we've been talking about this in our college memories of listening to this album.
My college memories.
Paul's college.
You were second grade, probably.
I was just learning how to count when I this song helped me count two princes. I was like, two princes, three princes.
Have you ever seen The Rain was covered in Philadelphia by Spin Doctors? So I wasn't just making shit up. Go ahead. What were you going to say about the
two
princes?
You know what? You won a John Mayer album from that listener.
Yeah, well, I know people said... By the way, we do read all your emails, and we do have an episode of our responses to your emails.
Yeah.
Michael responds to each of them, and I respond when I can. But we've responded to every email, text, Facebook, everything you guys have sent us. So
good, bad, ugly.
Yeah, twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. We will air the episode of our responses, but there's so many emails to get through, mm-hmm. and we do have to check the accuracy before we respond, because then
exactly
that's what our lawyers tell us.
There's thousands. We're here at the studio right now, and the mailbox is so full that we can barely walk through it. It's just crazy. Yeah,
you can hear Paul, this is all the
move them letters. Out of the way though, because I'm trying to get to the song next. Okay, all well right. I wanted to talk to you about how we were talking about college, and this is the quintessential
Bennington College
song.
Yeah.
Ceramics, come on, Chris. Go ahead.
No, this was a song that I listened to, and I put on a lot of mixtapes because it was like mellow and sad, and it reminded me of all the girls that I'd ask out, and they wouldn't go out with me. And I was like, I'll put a Spin Doctor song on. They'll get it. It'll be a subtle. I'll put it in between some Counting Crows and Pearl Jam, and then the song "How Could You Want Him When You Could Have Me."
Still
holds true today. I feel like that all the time.
And now look at you. You're a famous comedian who has ladies calling out to you all the time.
No, I actually had a girl recently text me. She saw another comedian on the show, and we were talking. She's like, "Oh man, he's hot." I'm like, "Oh, do you want his number?" So it still happens. It happens all the time.
That's just a game that they're playing with you.
Nah.
They gotta divert attention so they can get you there.
They'll regret that.
Why would they want him when they could have you, Paul?
That's right. Chris Barron speaks to me.
So,
this is the best song on the album.
Back to the Spin Doctors. Back to college. It's the quintessential college rock band. They actually were found and they broke through with the Vermont radio station WEQX, who used part of their song "Big Fat Funky Booty," one of my favorites. I can't believe we're not covering that song.
It's not on this album.
In a promo they produced. It's a big old fat funky booty B-side. They produced to promote an album, to promote a local concert with the band and some acts from that area. Listeners phoned in so much that this band said, "Hey, we need to get together and put out some more songs because we're so darn popular."
You know
who
the listeners were? His stepmom calling in. Calling in and be like, "I gotta help my son get him off this couch." All right, we're at the last song, number 10.
Already? No.
Shinbone Alley / Hard to Exist.
Hold on, that's not the name of the song.
That's what it's called.
Shinbone Alley?
Shinbone Alley. Oh, God, another one of these jams. I don't even remember these songs.
How long is this song? Some I need to use my skip for the last song.
Oh wait, we're on the last song, so we can do that. Let's see what happens. We gotta give it at least 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But if the lyrics don't come in.
Oh, see. Here we go.
Lukewarm water gasket?
You know,
I feel like all their songs are about refrigeration and HVAC.
It just shows the kind of life he was living.
I think he was in the kitchen when he wrote all these songs. He's like, pipes, lukewarm. Like, literally. He's like, "I gotta fill out the... I know these two other songs are hits. I'm just gonna do fillers for the rest." I think that's what they did. All All right.
I think that we got to use our controversial skip for this last song, but I'll let it play underneath.
We got to play it. Yeah. So what do you?
That was exciting, Paul. I never thought I'd be able to listen to a full Spin Doctors album in my entire life, and I'm glad that I did it with you today.
Okay. Well, are you ready to do the ratings?
Yeah, I think it's about that time.
Okay, go ahead. You go first.
Okay, let me think here real quick. You know, actually, will you go first real quick? I need to just pin some emojis real fast.
Okay. You're going to pin some emojis?
Yeah, I got to pin them to the page real quick. I have cutouts of all the emojis here on this board that's behind us, and I'm taking them down one by one so we can really make an effect here.
I really enjoyed this album back in 1992, 93 when I was a kid. This was like my childhood. I thought it would resonate with me now, and it didn't as much as I thought. I do still like How Could You Want Him When You Could Have Me, and I think that Little Miss Can't Be Wrong is still timeless. But I also like listened to Two Princes, and I would not listen to it again. I would definitely pass it up. Jimmy Olsen's Blues, which we talked over, was the original song up top. I like that. For those reasons, I give it 4.5 likes. Mm-hmm. And as far as emojis, I will give it, let's see. Well, one would have to be, I didn't really think this out. I would give one to, is there a Keystone Light emoji?
Let me
there's
look
a beer. Okay, I'll
there's
put a
Miller
beer
Lite
mug.
One, but
no, there's not. I'll put a beer mug because it reminds me of drinking with my friends. I wish there was a beer bong because that's all we did was we would drink with beer bongs. Mm-hmm. That was our generation's version of what's the butt shot thing called?
Butt shot.
Chugging,
what?
Butt chugging.
Oh yeah. That's very popular.
What's it called?
Now today.
Butt chugging?
I think it is called butt chugging.
Well,
I've never heard
of beer bonging to get drunk quicker. So I'd do the beer steiner, the beer mug, and the harmonica.
Oh, shout out to Popper.
Shout out to Fat Popper.
Skinny Pop.
No, it was Fat Popper. And I would do the fireman just for no other reason.
Mm-hmm. Am I wrong here? Did John Popper wear a Zorro hat at one time, too? Oh, no, he wore... Okay.
It was like a fedora.
Yeah. Man, he looks so good in that hat. All right, so you gave it 4.
4.5 likes.
4.5.
Yeah. What do you got?
All right, so this album kind of took me by surprise. I didn't know if I would like it or not. Again, I never thought I'd listen to this album all the way through. But for a pocket full of Kryptonite by the Spin Doctors, Paul, I'm going to give this my lowest rating ever. With a 3.
Okay.
A solid 3.
That's fine.
Nothing against Chris and everything, like I mentioned before, your goatee rules. And like we've mentioned before when we were talking about this earlier, I'm sure he's listening to this podcast
right
now.
He will probably listen to this.
And if he wants
I guarantee
to...
you someone from the Spin Doctors camp will hear this episode, and I do want to shout out to them that
yes.
This album was monumental in my childhood, and I have a copy of it. We actually bought a copy of this.
Yeah.
So we did support, and people went to their concerts. I never saw them live, but...
Same.
So, 3 likes. What are your...
3 likes, and again, shout out to the people who are listening to the Spin Doctors camp. We love you nevertheless. I mean, this is just purely subjective. Maybe their other albums will blow me out of the water.
No, this was their best album. According to other music reviews, it went downhill from here. So what are you
Kurt
got any
Cobain emoji? Was quoted one time saying, yeah. I love the Spin Doctors and this album.
What are your emojis?
My emojis are for my 3 likes rating. I'm giving it the footprints because looking at Chris's face, there's no way this guy wears shoes. There's no way. I'm going to give it the face palm guy. Because I thought I'd like it, and now I want to smash a grape on my forehead.
Yeah,
and of course, the coveted hacky sack.
Because there's no hacky sack.
I thought I saw a hacky sack, and there might have been a deflated football, though.
Okay, but fair enough.
Deflated football or hacky sack, this guy definitely wears no shoes, plays hacky sack, and definitely has that goatee rocking still today. He can't eat soup. But I think this was a good album. I mean, give him credit. This song is still going on.
How
it's a 5-minute jam.
How can you say you give it a good album? You gave it 3 likes. You can't like everything. You just got to say, no, it wasn't a good album. It had good songs, but it wasn't a good album.
I like to think
no,
about them in the studio putting
honest.
The work in.
We have to be honest on this podcast.
All right, this album was crap.
It was bad. We're sorry.
It was so bad.
But you guys who put this out knew it was bad. Mm-hmm. You kind of hinted at it on the back of the album.
Right?
It says Roman numeral 3 and Roman numeral 7 were the hits on the album. Everything else you did, just standard Arabic numbers. You knew that those are going to be the hits, and you're like, eh, let's just fill it in.
Yeah, right here, and underneath the copyright logo, it just says, we're sorry.
It's a hashtag before there were hashtags. Just listen to those two songs. But anyway, that's our review. Mm-hmm. So 3 from Michael Heidemann and 4 from Paul Farivar.
4.5.
4.5, that's right. And I gave him weird emojis. If you guys want to, talk to us about it, twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter.
Yes.
You can find me online at Paul F. Comedy or my Instagram at Paul Farivar. That's it. What about you, Michael?
You should follow Paul. He posts a lot of great stuff, and you can see all the cool stuff that he has bouncing around the city. For me, you can follow me at Arthur Fonzarelli on Instagram. You can follow me at Mike Heidemann on Twitter, and you can go to my website at Mike Heidemann, www.mikeheidemann.com. And that's about it. /spin doctors.
/spin doctors/2 princess. That's it. 30 minutes or less as always. Thank you guys for listening to Two Guys.
One Album.
Oh my God, this song is still playing.
If you made it this far in the podcast, you obviously are enjoying what we're doing. You can go back and listen to our other episodes. Taylor Swift, we have Counting Crows, The Killers,
Weezer, Fleetwood Mac.
So many great pieces of audio that you can listen to. Make sure you write us again at twoguysonealbum@gmail.com. And thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to put out that listener album, listener podcast one of these days.
For sure.
All right. We'll talk to you guys next week. 2 princes.